All right, we are in Matthew 14, verses 22-33. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
John Ortberg had a great book. It was called, "If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat." The first thing that happens when we start to hear the story is we start to think of reasons not to get out of the boat. One of the most common reasons is it's too unbelievable. Stuff like this can't happen anymore. And I want you to know that that's not just a layperson's perspective. There are people who are great theologians who've come up with a whole understanding of eras of man called dispensationalism. And they say, well, that happened then, it doesn't happen now. This is a different time, and it's God does different things in different ways. That couldn't possibly happen now. Folks, if God wants it to happen now, it'll happen now. And then we start to think about it. Well, you know, maybe it could happen now. And I wonder what kind of miracle I need. And I come to a story. It's about a man who found a hunting dog for sale. He'd been a hunter all his life, and he wanted a dog that would be the envy of everybody around him. So he saw $2,500 for this bird dog, and he called the number and said, "I got to see that dog if you think he's really worth $2,500. They went the next morning, went hunting. He flushed two birds and shot them over the water. The dog ran across the top of the water, picked up the birds, and brought them back. It sold. He says, "I can't wait to go hunting, but my brother, he'll never believe it." He went out, got his brother in the boat. They went out in the lake, flushed a couple of birds, shot them. The dog ran across the birds and came back. And the brother said, "Why'd you buy a dog that can't swim?" See, the second temptation is we want to dictate what the miracle will be. We want to put stipulations on God of how we want the miracle to work and where we want the miracle to happen. We want to be the director, as it were, and it really doesn't work that way. The other part that's difficult is we want to be successful every time. We want it to work the way we want it to work each and every time we go about it. But more I serve in ministry, the more I realize God likes it when we struggle. He thinks we learn stuff and we grow. So sometimes he doesn't let us succeed immediately. One of my favorite illustrations of this is Rex Humbard is a classic preacher, and he told a story about Bob. Bob had heard that the family tradition, he had heard it thousands of times, is that his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, all were able to walk on water on their 21st birthday. Well, he got kind of nervous, but as his 21st birthday started to approach, he decided that if Dad could do it, and Grandpa could do it, and Great-Grandpa could do it, that he was going to do it too. So he got in the boat, and he went out on the lake, and on his 21st birthday, he stepped over to the side of the boat and went right to the bottom. He came back up, and he was so embarrassed, and he went into his room and closed the door, and his grandma came, and she says, "Bob, what's the matter?" He says, "I've heard the family tradition, I've heard the legend every day of my life, and I tried, and it didn't work." And she says, "Bob, your dad was born in December, your grandfather was born in January, your great-grandfather was born in February, you were born in August." Calling the shot doesn't work because God has different plans for different people. But what I want to kind of focus down on is what is happening with Peter, with Jesus, and the disciples in the boat. Peter comes off as a failure because he looks away from Jesus and he ends up sinking in the water. And what gets lost at that point is that Peter got out of the boat. Peter knew the shame of public failure. The other disciples knew the shame of being a coward and not getting out of the boat. See, it's not the critic who counts. Not the one who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of the deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who's in the arena, whose face is marred with dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming. But those who do actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasm, the great devotion, who spends themselves in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and at the worst fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Those words were spoken by Teddy Roosevelt, but I think they were spoken by Jesus to Peter 2,000 years before. Carl Menninger was a world famous psychologist, and he was answering questions at a lecture on mental health when a person said, "What advice would you give someone who felt a nervous breakdown coming on?" And people expected him to say, "Well, consult a psychologist and tell them thus and so." And he said, "I tell him to lock up your house, go across town, find someone in need, and do something to help them." Menninger knew that those who serve others have much better mental health than those who focus on themselves. The best way to bring on an anxiety attack and an emotional breakdown is to focus on you. So what are we to do? See, the decision is always between risk and comfort. God always tries to call us out of our comfort zone in order to get us to grow. It's something that doesn't come easily because he doesn't ask us to do something that we're confident in. He asks us to do something that requires us to rely on him. Now in your mind, you're saying, I really do not want to step out of the boat. I don't have that kind of faith. But I think it takes place in different ways. And one of my favorites is a story from Los Angeles, California. In East Los Angeles, East LA, in Boyle Heights, there was a gang conflict. The territories came together and they began to fight every night. There were killings, there was fire, there was driving. And around the Dolores Mission Catholic Church, the families began to gather together to pray and decide what they were supposed to do at a time like this. As they gathered together, they read Matthew 14. And they heard about Jesus walking on water and calling out to Peter. One of the mothers was electrified by the text and began to just talk with passion and courage. And the parallels between Jesus' story and their own. And that night, 70 women began a procession from one neighborhood to another. They brought food, guitars, love. As they ate tortillas and chips and salsa and drank Coke with gang members, the gangs were distorted and baffled. They didn't know what to do. And the war zones were silent. Each night, they came singing and bringing food. Nonviolently intruding, they broke all the rules of war. The script of retaliation and escalating violence was challenged as they were encouraged to come to the table. And for night after night, they continued their love walks. The relationship between the families and the gang members grew, and the kids told their stories. They talk about lack of jobs, being misunderstood by the police, hopelessness. And they came together and they developed a tortilla factory, a bakery, a child care center, a job training program, a conflict management class, counseling, a school for learning how to read, and a neighborhood group to monitor and report both crime behavior and police misbehavior. And it all began with a challenge. Get out of the boat. See if you can walk. See, I don't think God is trying to tell us that we're supposed to go and get a boat and try to walk across Portage Lake. I think he is telling us, you're not fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, you are citizens of Jesus in Putnam Township. And there's something out there that needs to be addressed and needs to be confronted, and you don't think you can do it. But with Jesus, you can. It might seem unrealistic. It might seem foolish. It might even seem impossible. But the decision to grow is always a choice between risk and comfort. And Jesus asks you to take the risk. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, as we come before you today, we love the story of Jesus walking on the water and calling Peter out of the boat. But if we're honest, we'd really like to be the disciples who get to observe it rather than Peter who has to try to do it. Lord, help us to understand that we can't demand the kind of miracle we want to see. We can't call the time and place for it to happen. But if we're going to grow in you, we need to get out of the boat. It's not something that we want to do, but if we want to be drawn to you, if we want to be drawn closer, it's exactly what we need to be. As we walk with you, your will be done. Give us eyes to see and strength to act. In the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.